Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of ATO's podcast, Tax Invoice. My name is Gavin Swan and I'm the Director at Absolute Accounting Services, a CPA practice on the Central Coast of New South Wales. I'm joined by Assistant Commissioner Adam O'Grady from the ATO. Today we're going to talk about a topic that's always very popular, work-related expenses and in particular claiming expenses from working from home. In part one of our work-related expenses, we are going to give you, the listeners, some tips to help you complete your tax return, as well as practical and tailored information about common claims and keeping the right record. I'm hosting today's podcast from my office in Erina in New South Wales with Adam in the Adelaide office. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks, Gavin. Thanks for that introduction. It's good to be here today to talk to you about work-related expenses, a topic on everyone's mind, I think, coming into tax time.
Look, absolutely. Normally we do this face-to-face, but courtesy of technology, we're on opposite sides of the country, and we're going to go through today what you can claim on your tax returns in relation to home office expenses. Adam, there's no denying that this is going to be a tax time like no other. So far in 2020, we've had bushfires, we've had floods, we've had everything thrown at us, which means that the information people are putting in their tax returns is very likely to change. And the ATO is working very closely, as they always do, with tax practitioners. And we're definitely all in this together this tax time. So, Adam, what are some of the key changes and key focus areas for the ATO this coming tax time?
Gavin, I think you've summed it up well. This is a year we're going to remember for the rest of our lives with the changes and challenges that we've had as a community. Really, the focus for the ATO over the last few months and even leading into tax time is really as much as possible supporting the community. So tax is important, there's no doubt about that. But what we want individuals to understand is, you know, the safety of their family is critical, and we want them to look after the more important parts of their life around their family, their health, their safety, those sort of things. And as much as possible, we're here to help those individuals. So if you look at obviously the announced government stimulus and some of the things we're administering there around the JobKeeper payments, cash flow boost, the early access to superannuation, that's really about delivering that immediate support to the community right now as best we can. And there's lots of information on the ATO website on those measures and different support, which is at ato.gov.au/coronavirus. So I won't spend a lot of time on that. I think they've been well publicised and there is a lot of information on the website there about them. The other thing at tax time is we're all working very differently. So you flagged this yourself, Gavin. Normally on these sort of things we'd come together in a studio and record this podcast, but we've had to learn how do we do this differently by using technology. And for all of us, myself included, that includes working from home in ways that we've never had to before, and that's happened right across the community.
Adam, that working from home has been pivotal in limiting the impacts of the coronavirus crisis. There's been an adjustment for a lot of people and a lot of businesses. There are some perks, there's some additional benefits, I guess, if you like, from working from home. And we've all been on the WebExes and Zoom meetings where people have grown their COVID beards and have their COVID suits on, which is code for having your pajamas still on. And we've had the luxury of not having to travel to work. But Adam, it's still the same fundamental rules apply when we're looking at claiming expenses and including working from home expenses. And the three golden rules apply, and these are evident on all of the ATO fact sheets in relation to occupational guides. I'm wondering if you just want to hit us up with those one more time.
Yes, look, it's a well-rehearsed three golden rules for us, which you must have spent the money yourself and not be reimbursed, is the first golden rule for any work-related expense. It must be directly related to your earning income. And last and not least, and almost one of the most important, because it's something that we see people trip themselves up on quite regularly, is you must have a record to prove it. And those golden rules, as much as working from home has changed, those golden rules haven't changed and they're consistent throughout all of tax time.
Adam, we've got those same three rules that frame our conversation today, and the rules, the same rules essentially still apply. However, there are some things that are a little bit different this tax time. So can you go through with us what is indeed different this coming tax time?
Yeah, so one of the things particularly that we've changed this tax time is working from home. So we obviously recognise that since March of this year, a lot more people, millions of people are now working from home almost full time, which they've never had to do before. Sometimes there might have been little bits and pieces, but never have we mobilised entire workforces to work from home. Well, you've always been able to claim working from home expenses. We have looked to simplify that process for those people that for the first time are working from home. The other changes we expect to see is obviously we've all been on various forms of lockdown. So you've got, you know, whether it's a sales rep who's no longer making those calls to all their clients. So their travel expenses will be fundamentally different from the March to June period to what it would be over a normal course of the year. Or if you're working in an industry where you would normally have a uniform that you wear to work, and again, you're now working from home, those expenses won't be there for that last part of the year. So we do expect the claims that come through on the tax returns this year will differ by the simple nature of the way people are working has changed for the last 4 months.
Adam, one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about is this change in the cents per hour rate that is available to taxpayers. We still have the 52 cents an hour available to all taxpayers, but of course the ATO has introduced, effective from the 1st of March, another rate of 80 cents an hour that may be applicable to some people. Could you give us some extra detail on that?
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. Really, we've introduced the 80 cents rate in recognition of the number of people that are working at home for the first time, and as much as possible make it simple for them when claiming their deductions at tax time. What this rate encompasses is all of your expenses that you may incur while working from home. So whether that's, you know, extra electricity, your phone and internet, the cost of your depreciation on a computer, those sort of things. The 80 cent per hour rate looks to cover all of that in one easy calculation. The way you calculate it is 80 cents times every hour that you work from home for your employer. The only part that you need to do, or you need to provide to substantiate that claim, is effectively a diary or a worksheet, timesheet, that actually shows the time that you did actually work from home. So for your tax return, if it's 40 hours a week, your 40 hours times 80 cents, and you can put that in your return as a deduction. As you mentioned, that rate is available for hours worked from the 1st of March through to 30 June. So it is only for that period. Other work that you may have done from home prior to that period, the 52 cent rate still applies, or alternatively, we do have the actual cost method where you do need to calculate every component of your expenses through there as well. So really what we're saying is from that 1st of March through to 30 June period, you've actually got three options available to you, including the really simple rate. But if you don't feel that represents your circumstances, then those other existing options are still available to you.
So, Adam, that is an important note there that we've trained. I know that over the years I've trained my clients in not only keeping a record from how much they've been working from home, but also apportioning things such as their phone expenses and their internet expenses and so on. So that method is still available for people who have been working from home throughout the whole year. It's just we're going to see a little bit of a difference, of course, in their records. We would expect to see, as you alluded to before, a change in some expenses. And whilst we may expect to see laundry and vehicle expenses, for example, and travel decrease somewhat, we would expect to see some home expenses increase. And I guess the way of proving that, of course, is the logbook or diary, which none of us like doing, but nonetheless, in my experience, people who sit down and do those have substantially better claims and claims that are better substantiated than other taxpayers and therefore get a better outcome. Adam, this is the fun part. Let's get into some myth-busting here. We've all heard these stories. We've all heard the anecdotes, what you can and can't do. And I'd like to run through with you a few things that I've heard on the grapevine, and I'm sure that you've heard a lot as well. And embedded in all of this is, if it is still a personal expense, then it can't be claimed. So just because you're working from home, it doesn't magically make these other expenses that you have that are of a personal nature tax deductible. Really good example that I've got, Adam. I had a client contact me and say, hey, now that I'm working from home, my coffee machine's broken. Can I buy a new one and claim it under these brand new fangled measures that the ATO has brought in? And the sound answer to that was no, but nice try. Same thing goes for uniforms. Now, pyjamas are not a uniform, so we don't expect to be seeing any Peter Alexander receipts in people's claims. So that's another one that people have tried on me as well. So I don't know if there's anything that you've heard that, shall we say, blurs the boundary between home and work.
I think a couple of my favourites have been toilet paper, which, you know, was obviously very big and very topical there for a while, where everyone was in a mad rush for toilet paper and were obviously keeping their receipts.
Well, look, Adam, I've got a point to make there. I mean, the question is, are they claiming that as a deduction or are they making money on reselling it?
Well, that's a very good point, Gavin.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you there. I couldn't help myself. But you do have these very blurred distinctions. So, yes, we've got toilet paper.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one. And, you know, you talk about the pyjamas, and we've shared, I think, even on our Twitter account, some examples where people were looking to claim their slippers as safety equipment for working from home, which is an interesting take on protective equipment. Again, it does sort of show maybe some misconceptions out there in the community that if I'm working from home, then that becomes my workplace. And that plainly isn't the case. It is still largely a private dwelling. It's your private home. The deductions you're available to are really for those additional expenses incurred when you're working. So not for your lunch, not for your coffee, not for your Peter Alexander pajamas.
And nothing will protect your slippers from my dog. Now, onto something a little bit more serious, Adam. We talk about working from home and claiming various running expenses, and that's essentially what we're talking about, running expenses. I'd like to differentiate running expenses as opposed to occupancy expenses. And once we delve into that murky area of occupancy expenses, we really do start to enter into some more heavy-duty areas of tax law. Can you help us out with that, Adam, and elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, generally speaking, for anyone working from home, your occupancy expenses, so things like your rent, things like your mortgage, your insurance, they aren't a claimable expense. Again, your home, as we mentioned, is more a private in nature. It's not directly your income earning. In the limited circumstances where you can claim those expenses, so you're actually running a business of sorts through your home, you might have an office where you've set up a small shopfront or maybe a salon or something in a certain room. In those circumstances, you may be able to claim a portion of those expenses, but it does then change the nature of the property, and things around capital gains and that will apply at the sale of the property. So for most of our listeners today, I think the key message to everyone is your occupancy expenses for majority of individuals are not a claimable expense. Those claim methods that we've put out for you certainly cover things like your electricity and your phone and internet, your heating, those sort of components, but not those overall almost capital costs of actually owning your home.
Yeah, look, Adam, the CGT is a very big consideration there, particularly when you're looking at potentially claiming occupancy expenses, more so related to people who have their own business from home. Another thing, just as a bit of a segue on that, if you are indeed running a business from home, you really need to have a look at other things as well, like have you got council approval to do it? Does the insurance company cover it if you've got a room full of computer servers or a room full of stock? So it's not only the basic tax considerations, you've really got to think through the other implications of what you're doing. So if we could just keep it to basics and say we're looking at occupancy expenses here for tax purposes, stick to the law, keep it simple, and keep a record. Now, Adam, moving forward, we're headlong into tax time 2020. What are the things that you think will set off some red flags for the ATO in a tax return? And I know we've already talked about some various expenses where we might expect to see some changes in claims, but from the ATO's point of view, tell us what we think will set off some red flags for the ATO when they're looking at a tax return.
Yeah, look, Gavin, there'll be a few things that we are on the lookout this tax time in people's return. So one is the really ridiculous high claims, or, you know, what we would call outliers from normal. So as part of our return process, every single tax return is assessed, and we do look at the claims through those returns, and we compare it to other people in similar circumstances to yourself or to each person. those where their claims are out of pattern or unusual to the rest of their peers will gain our attention, and people can expect us to come and ask, you know, how did you calculate that claim? Do you have your evidence and things like that? We'll also be looking for people, in, as you mentioned, people whose claim patterns haven't changed this year compared to last year, when we would reasonably expect they would have. So again, I used the sales rep example earlier, people who are travelling to meet their clients on a regular basis and obviously would have high car use claims each year. But for the last 4 months, for the majority of people, those face-to-face meetings haven't been happening, so we'd expect to see a reduction in those claims. So we'll be looking across those occupations, across those industries, and if the claims are out of what we would expect given the circumstances, we will look to, again, verify and check those claims with the individual. The final thing that always grabs our attention is the standard claim or the standard deduction. Putting in the same figure at each label or every year, it's always the same round figure. That's always a bit of a red flag for us to say, well, how have they come up with that claim, and is it actually been properly calculated in the methods that we've obviously we put out there?
In other words, you can't photocopy last year's tax return and resubmit it.
Definitely not. If only it was that easy. And it is. I do bring it up because we do see it on a regular basis, and I think it is a bit of a misconception out there in the community that there is a thing of a standard claim. Like you can make a standard $300 deduction. It doesn't exist.
Look, Adam, I see it with my clients and the information they present to me. So I think we're both well aware that it's some misinformation out there in the community. So I'd just like to reiterate the words that you said. The ATO is very analytical with its approach and it has got a lot of data at hand and will slice and dice the information according to your occupation, your salary level, and not only the amount but the types of claims that you make. So it's not a blunt instrument that you use. It's a very, very methodical approach, and you've got a lot of information at hand there to help you out. And at the end of the day, you're trying to weed out these outliers and people aren't claiming properly so that we benefit the community as a whole. One only needs to look at some of the AAT cases where people have been pulled up, and the laundry list, quite literally, is very extensive of what people can try and claim, shall I say, and invariably get pulled up for it. Adam, usually at this time of the year, I'm talking to clients about tax planning, and then often I do that in the business context. Most people are working from home at the moment, and it's fairly obvious that will continue to happen in many areas of Australia for a little while yet. I'd be encouraging people to use this time that they've got at home and before we approach the 30th of June to keep their receipts and to keep their logbooks and keep their records of when they're working from home. And whilst none of us necessarily like to fill out these diaries and these logbooks, I can promise you that when you do, you actually give yourself a little bit of a surprise as to how much work you do and how much you may spend on these work-related items. Instead of having to rely just on your memory, you've actually got the evidence to go to there. And 9 times out of 10, the evidence gives you more deduction than just relying on your memory alone. So I really would encourage people, as we lead into the 30th of June, to keep their receipts and keep those records up to date.
I'd fully support that, Gavin. And I know from our experience, when we look at, I've listed off some of those things that, you know, create red flags for us. If you are someone that is truly entitled to those deductions, we want you to have those deductions, and we want to make a review process as quick and as painless as possible for all concerned. The best way for anyone to do that is, as you say, use that time now, collate your receipts, make sure you're keeping your diary, keep that evidence so that if we do come and ask you to verify what you've claimed and why you've claimed it, it can be a really quick and easy process for you. More often, the people that really don't enjoy or don't get a good outcome in a review or in an audit is a person who sat down at the computer or gone into their tax agent. They haven't kept a receipt. They've just sort of scribbled on a post-it note, oh, I think I roughly worked this and I roughly travelled this amount, and try and come up with a rough estimate of it, which when you try and unravel it, is just not, there's no basis in reality of it. So record keeping as you go is really important.
Adam, I can promise you that the clients who come and see me, there is an extremely strong correlation between those with good records and very good refunds.
I would have no doubt. As we said, the golden rules, like rule number 3, is have the evidence to prove it. If you don't have the evidence, you can't claim the deduction. If people take that simple step, their refund and what they can claim will always be increased.
Adam, before we round out this area on work-related expenses and working from home, I'd just like to remind our listeners that there are fact sheets available on the ATO website. There's been quite a few groups of practitioners and the ATO working together to produce on these shareable content groups, prepare these fact sheets, and more are becoming available all the time. So if in doubt, I'd encourage our listeners to go to the ATO website and search out these fact sheets on work-related expenses and working from home. I think there's a lot to keep talking about in regards to work-related expenses, so we'll see you for part two, where we'll look at tips on reconstructing records and also donations. Thank you again for your time and chat again soon. To the listeners, thank you all for listening to this episode of Tax Invoice, part one of our episode on work-related expenses. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Subscribe to Tax Invoice so you don't miss out on upcoming podcast episodes on rental deductions and other topics that listeners have told us that they want to hear about. Listen or subscribe on your favourite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or stream and download from ato.gov.au/podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.